انت بتسمع تسعينات اف ام، اجمل ذكريات.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host Farah and this is my show Music with Farah on 90s FM. Before we start, if you'd like to leave us a comment or suggest a song, drop us a call on +21 000 427 894. Tonight we're diving into the legacy of the band that defined a generation, from being one of the leaders of the New Romantics to the darlings of MTV and the Fab Five. This is Duran Duran. To understand how it all came to be, let's jump back to 1978. It all started when Stephen Duffy attended a local gig and saw a band called Dada, where John Taylor was on guitar. In that same year, as if by fate, Stephen and John crossed paths again as students at the Birmingham Polytechnic's College of Art and Design. It was also around this time that Stephen had split from his group, Dada. With similar music tastes, John decided to introduce Stephen to his childhood friend, Nick Rhodes, and after an audition for Stephen, the group began discussing forming a band. Their first jam session was held above Nick's family shop called Bates Toy Corner. In a small showroom where Nick had his synthesizer, John played his guitar, and along with the newest lead vocalist, Stephen. The band was forming up pretty nicely, but they still needed a name. They eventually drew their inspiration from the sci-fi cult classic film Barbarella, taking the name from the film's villain, Dr. Duran Duran, and by 1979, they were starting to gain traction. With a different format but a growing sound, they ended up recording a couple of demos featuring singer Andy Wickett, including a track called X Disco. The track is almost like an early glimpse of the infectious bass, dancey rhythms, and creative synthesizers that would later become staples of the Duran Duran sound. You can already hear some of these ideas that would emerge in a more polished form on songs like Planet Earth. Over the next year, the group continued to refine both their sound and their member lineup. By this point, Duran Duran consisted of John Taylor, Nick Rhodes, and Roger Taylor, but they were missing the guitarist and vocalist. Enter Andy Taylor, who was at a gig with his fellow band Motorway, sharing the stage with another band called Georgie, whose lead vocalist was none other than Brian Johnson. After a mishap with Georgie's PA system, Andy lent his equipment to the group. And since the musical community was tight-knit, Andy was right in the room when Brian dropped the bombshell that he scored the audition for AC/DC. Seeing this moment, something in Andy led him to get the latest copy of Melody Maker, look for the ad about a live wire guitarist, and head onto a train with his guitar and amplifier from Newcastle to Birmingham. Walked in, started jamming, and by the end, he was playing music with the band. Seeing the success of the Melody Maker ad, they placed another ad, this time looking for a singer. Simon Le Bon, a connection, came through Fiona Kemp, who was a bartender at the Rum Runner nightclub where Duran Duran was rehearsing, introduced Simon to the band as a potential lead vocalist. With his prep book full of poetry, he tried fitting the band's instrumental to his poem Sound of Thunder, and it worked. With that, they had their final lineup, and Duran Duran released their debut single, Planet Earth, in February 1981. The song was filled to the brim with a groovy bass, lots of synthesizers they experimented with, and dance rhythms, like in those early demos that became more refined and sharper. There's also a nod to the New Romantic subgenre in the lyrics, like some New Romantic looking for the TV sound, which alludes to the underground club subculture brewing beneath the surface. Planet Earth was opening the door for the band to break new heights and provide a new level of entertainment to the world. And that was the very groovy Planet Earth. After the success of Planet Earth, Duran Duran was one of the bands that brought the New Romantics movement to the forefront. With their flamboyant glam rock and almost theatrical-like aesthetic, nowhere was this more explosive than this track. This music video featured fabulous pastel silk suits, bright settings in the Caribbean Sea, and quirky graphic art. This is Rio. The track came right after the group's first tour of the USA. Nick explained that the energy you hear throughout this album is a direct result of that trip. For John Taylor, however, he wanted to find that perfect song to kick off their live gigs. And after returning to this specific groovy, funky tune, he kept playing it throughout the rehearsals and sound checks, trying to find that it moment. Then they landed on what would become Rio. From the layered synth to the extraordinary opening bass that hooks you onto the track, the kooky lyrics, and the phenomenal saxophone solo played by Andy Hamilton. There's so much that this track captures from the moment it starts till it ends. The gleeful excitement radiating from the group can be heard loud and clear in Rio.
Catch the mirror way out.
that was The Beautiful Rio. Now, by their third album with Seven and The Ragged Tiger, Duran Duran was still skyrocketing to new heights. That brings us to the very cool song New Moon on Monday, which was released in 1984. It still had that essentially Duran Duran groove mixed in with a bit of rock, an infectious synth line, and a marimba. Now, fun fact about that marimba, it was actually a real recording of the instrument, but it was played via a synth, and it was messed around with to fit the track's arrangement. Generally, the track is such a cool experimental song, but it still has that staple sound you always search for. It's a lot of fun and has a lot of kooky sound effects as well. If you listen closely, you can hear almost these fireworks or rock sounds throughout the song. Well, apparently, Nick Rhodes and producer Alex Satkin created the rocket sound on a track by ripping up newspapers on the Fairlight CMI, slowing the recording, and achieving the effect. And finally, I have to talk about the music video, which I think is perfectly cheesy. It's slightly bizarre, and it doesn't really make much sense, but for some reason it feels fitting for the song's experimentation. This is also the group's least favorite video, though Andy admitted that if anyone plays the music video, he cringes and tends to leave the room. The music video is mixed with themes of the French Revolution, the French Resistance, a weird heist of sorts, a spy, and a lot of references to, well, the moon. Here is the ever extraordinary New Moon on Monday.
Shake up the picture, when there's a mixture with your dance on the evil tide. You got me coming off with answers on the witch I deny. I said it again, but could I please rephrase it? Maybe I can catch a ride.
Oh,
Next up is one of the more iconic tracks in the catalog called A View to a Kill. But if you're also a fan of the 007 franchise, you'll recognize this one. A View to a Kill was a theme song for the 1985 James Bond film starring Roger Moore and Grace Jones. So, the story goes, according to bassist John Taylor, he approached the longtime Bond producer Albert R. Cubby while very intoxicated at a party. John stated that he was a major, longtime fan of the Bond films, but said that the last few movies had been mediocre, and possibly added, "When are you going to have a decent theme song again?" Well, Albert asked if he'd like to do the next one, and started working on the song around November 1984. They created the song, and rather than looking at what had been done before, the band wanted something more contemporary while keeping that Duran Duran sound. It remains the only Bond song to reach number one in the United States.
Meeting you with a view to a kill. Face to face in secret places, feel the chill.
During A View to Kill, tension, amongst other things, was brewing between the members. Then the members were already split into two different groups, with Simon, Nick, and Roger going for the more artsy synth-pop group Arcadia, while John and Andy paired off in a more funky-inspired group called The Power Station. Arcadia was a complete switch. It was moody and more experimental, as their debut single, Election Day, was quite the avant-garde synthy art-pop influence that strayed away from the typical Duran Duran sound. We'll be right back. And although there was a split with different projects, Duran Duran continued as a trio of Simon, Nick, and John. And the trio created Notorious, which was released on November 24th, 1986, and was produced by the band with Nile Rodgers, who also played guitar throughout much of the album. Instead of the more experimental multi-genre style that defined their early years, Notorious leaned more into a funk rock sound. The album had Steve Ferones on drums, Simon Le Bon on vocals, John Taylor on bass, and Nick Rhodes on keyboards. Andy Taylor came into the early sessions of the album, but because a lot of disputes, Andy ended up being replaced by missing persons guitarist Warren Cucurello. This was the newest lineup of Duran Duran, with new members and a shift to a new musical genre. This is Notorious.
Notorious.
That was the legendary Notorious. Our next track was released on April 10th, 1989, as the third and final single from their fifth album titled Do You Believe in Shame? The song was mostly associated with Simon's childhood best friend, David Miles, although the deaths of Alex Satkin and artist Andy Warhol also had a possible effect as well. This track is considered a trilogy of songs written as a tribute to Miles. The other two songs are Ordinary World and Out of My Mind. The song was known for a very different reason, and that's because the song's melody faced a legal challenge. It was said that the song was a ripoff of Susie Q, and the writing credits were changed accordingly after Duran Duran lost the legal challenge. Despite the controversy surrounding the song, it remains one of the most emotional pieces in Duran Duran's trilogy dedicated to David Miles, drawing on the classic sound of synthesizers, a bit of rock, and a softer ballad angle. This is Do You Believe in Shame?
Do you believe in love? Do you believe in shame?
While Notorious was a success, the Big Thing album struggled commercially despite the popularity of the track Do You Believe in Shame. Unfortunately, the trend continued with their 1990 album Liberty, and the album was seeing a steady decline. However, in 1993, they had their rebound with the Wedding album. It became a critical and commercial hit, and the single Ordinary World was a massive hit. This was the lead single from their Wedding album. The ballad was written by the band and co-produced with John Jones, and was the second single of the trilogy of songs written for Simon's best friend, David Miles. This song could almost be considered the track that breathed new life into Duran Duran after their steady decline. Even more internally, drummer Sterling Campbell left, John Taylor and Nick Rhodes faced difficulties, and Simon considered stepping away from music. But there was Warren Cucurello, who took the lead in bringing the band back, using his home in Battersea as a makeshift studio to maintain creative set control. Following Do You Believe in Shame, the lyrics for Ordinary World addresses themes ranging from grief and the search for normality following personal loss. Simon stated that it's about someone who feels that he's woken up in a bit of a crazy world and wants to regain the ordinary world he once knew, something that he can recognize and be comfortable with. Here is Ordinary World.
Turned on the lights, the TV, and the radio. Still, I can't escape the ghost of you. What has happened to it all? Crazy summer say. Where is the life that I recognize? Come away. But I won't.
Thank you.
After the commercial success of the Wedding album, the band was preparing to drop new music. After a failed album in 1995, they released another album, Mad as a Land, which tanked commercially. During the album cycle, Duran Duran parted ways with Capitol Records after 20 years. The constant decline from their projects and fractures within several members leaving led to the group to completely go into a more edgier organic alternative sound, working in Warren's studio. However, the band signed a new record deal with Hollywood Records while working on Pop Trash. To get that edgy sound, they hired Ken Scott, who was primarily the sound engineer and mixer. However, maybe their sound was a little too, well, organic. As they sent their finalized mix to Hollywood Records, the label did not like the organic sound and instead looked to Chris Lord-Alge to rework with a more pop modern edge. And on June 19th, 2000, Pop Trash would be released with a more mediocre response, and it was also unfortunately the last record that included Warren. However, Pop Trash as a track is generally well liked. It's even Warren's favorite, and Rhodes has said that he thinks that this was Warren at his best too. What's even cooler is that when writing Pop Trash, Nick Rhodes had one idea in mind. He used Andy Warhol's quote, "In the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. Well, as easy as fame comes, it goes as quickly. Here is Pop Trash.
So close up of your pretty face. Overnight sensation, smiling for cameras from all around the world. If I rewind back to yesterday, we'll be right back.
And in 2004, Duran Duran released their album Astronaut. It was their first single since A View to a Kill to feature all five of the band's original members, also known as the Fab Five. The song's release led to its debut and peak at number 5 on the UK singles chart. Reach Up for the Sunrise was described by Simon as a dance floor song that says everything about the band, saying goodbye to the darkness and hello to the light. The music video even utilized some really cool ideas, where each member is on their own journey across different landscapes, only to be joined on stage before sunrise as soon as the chorus hits the song. What's unique about the music video was that it was filmed in a different film or digital format, creating a very unique look, and several versions of the video were made available on the internet, with each version focusing on one specific member. This is Reach Up for the Sunrise. That was the phenomenal Reach Up for the Sunrise. And for our last track of the night, I want to throw it back to the origins of Duran Duran. This is one of those tracks that cemented a couple of young guys from Birmingham who loved music as icons who broke through the global musical ceiling and made a name for themselves. From being called the darlings of MTV, their rise with the aesthetic of the New Romantics, their decline, and their pushback into the hearts of their fans. Duran Duran has held the test of time. But that's really what they're all about, the love for music and always wanting to break the mold. So here it is, the famous song that captures the magic of Duran Duran. This is the ever iconic Save a Prayer. I've been your host, Farah, with my show Music with Farah on 90s FM, and I'll see you at the same time, same place. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the music.